Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to Trinity Talks, which is our Between Services podcast here at Trinity. And I'm excited because I've got Justin Stratus with me, and he is a professor of systematic theology at Wycliffe College in Toronto. So thank you for joining me.
Yes, ma'am.
So we just are wrapping up a sermon series on the Bible. Specifically, it's called The Bible for Grownups. Mm-hmm. And something tells me that you know a thing or two about the Bible.
A little bit. Yes, I've read it. I've seen it. It exists in my house.
Yes, and you preached on it last week.
Oh, yes,
week.
I did do
That's
that.
Yes. Right. So we thought it would be wonderful to have you join us because myself and I think the listeners here would be really interested to hear your perspective on why the Bible is just so amazing. Mm-hmm. And maybe also why or how we can use the Bible, or maybe more specifically be used by the Bible, and the power of that as well. Mm-hmm. So let's have a chat.
Sure.
All right. So to warm us up, I want to ask you a question. Other than Jesus, is there anyone in the Bible who you would love to go back in time with and sit down and have dinner with and have a chat?
Yeah. So I guess for theological reasons, I'd love to hang out with the Apostle Paul.
Okay.
Because he writes really confusing stuff, and it would be good to get his sort of authoritative take
right
on what he wrote. But as I was mentioning before, Noah might be fun.
Why is that?
Because he's famous for getting drunk.
he might be a good time.
And passing out on the beach. So the Bible doesn't affirm that, but it would be fun to hang out with him. He seems like a good partier.
Yeah, see what he's all about.
Yep.
All right. Okay, that's great. So we're going to talk about the Bible. And the theme of this past sermon series that we're just sort of wrapping up now, as I said, was the Bible for grownups. Mm-hmm. And we talked about how, as a mature Christian, we may need to start approaching the Bible more maturely if we want to really understand it and really be used by it. So I'm wondering, as a child, when you were introduced, I'm assuming, to the Bible, mm-hmm. what were your experiences with that text?
Well, so my parents grew up Greek Orthodox, okay. and they converted to evangelical Protestantism right before I was born. So they were kind of learning about what it meant to be an evangelical Protestant as I was growing up. So we were sort of at the mercy of whatever our churches were teaching us. So at that time, my interactions with scripture, we had to memorize a lot of it.
Mm-hmm.
That was okay. kind of a thing yeah. in our church, and you get various prizes for doing that. So I remember memorizing Psalm 23 when yeah. I was a kid in the King James Version. And I was given a Bible, I think, when I was in second grade in the States. I'm from the States. And mm-hmm. And I still have that somewhere from Mrs. Culver, if I remember.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Mrs. Culver.
So, I memorized scripture and I had a Bible, and that was kind of my interactions as a kid, but I didn't really take to it until I was a teenager.
Okay. Well, you've been known to say that you love the Bible.
I do.
So I'm wondering, what's the story there? How did you come to fall in love with the Bible?
Well, I mean, I often say I've been involved in ministry type stuff for a long time. Mm-hmm. I became a Christian when I was a teenager in high school. And I've kind of always had like a behind the scenes view of church, because I was a musician and I was a leader in my youth group. And later I started working on staff at churches. And there's something that there's kind of a seeing behind the veil of being in ministry that sort of takes the shine off of some of Christian stuff.
Yeah.
But I've never had that with the Bible for some reason, even though I study it a lot and I spend a lot of time talking about it. It's always surprising, and I feel like I never get to see behind the scenes of scripture. It's always kind of front and center and challenging me and saying unusual things to me.
That's great.
Sparks my imagination like nothing else.
Interesting. Actually, you're just mentioning this sparks your imagination. And I know that's part of, we're going to be doing a course on Lectio Divina coming
up
here.
Oh, yes. Yeah, the monks. Yep.
Yeah. And I know that sometimes just getting into that imaginary prayer that comes with reading scripture can just really open up the mind to what God is trying to tell us. So I'm glad you mentioned that. But you have a lot of students at school, I assume.
Yes.
Yes. And some of them may just be tackling the Bible seriously for the very first time in your theology courses. So how do you introduce the Bible to your students?
There's a couple of things. I want them to know that scripture reveals Jesus Christ.
Mm.
So I think that's its primary goal. Well, it reveals God, but it reveals God through the mediation of Jesus Christ. So when you read it, you're asking the question, how does this particular passage show me something about Jesus? So that's number one. The second thing is, you can read the Bible for all different kinds of reasons. I kind of alluded to this in my sermon last week. You can read it to learn about history. You can read it to learn about morality. You can read it to learn about religion. I'm stealing this idea from Karl Barth, who's a theologian,
okay,
a hero of mine. You can read it for all those reasons. And the Bible will give you what you want out of it.
Mm.
But if you want to know God, it can reveal God to you. And that's the primary way you should read it. And I think sometimes when you get into academic readings of the Bible, you forget that. You think, well, if I really understand what was going on in ancient Palestine, then I'll really understand what Isaiah is about. No, you'll only understand Isaiah if you read it before God and with the expectation that God will speak to you through the words of that prophet.
Okay.
So.
All right. So do you think there's any misconceptions or problems or challenges that people may face when they read the Bible? And like, how do you think people can overcome those challenges?
Yeah. So the Bible is, it's weird, right? It's an old, old book. Mm-hmm. If you grew up in the West or certain parts of the global South and you've been sort of saturated with Bible references, it can trick you into feeling like it's a regular book and a feature of your own culture and society. But it's from a long time ago and it's hard to read. So a lot of people, when they first become Christians, they'll just start at page one and start reading Genesis.
Mm-hmm.
And they sort of vibe with that part of scripture. And then all of a sudden it starts getting into all the law and the rules. I remember trying to read scripture with my kids and it got into all the bits about the kinds of thread that the priest needs to wear.
Yeah, there's a big chunk of text dedicated just to those parts.
Yeah, it's like 12 chapters in Exodus, right? And then people flame out and they're like, I don't know what's going on, right? So So that's a roadblock people face.
Is okay.
They go into it with really good intentions and then they get really confused by what's happening.
Fair.
So I think if you're going to read it for the first time ever, I would start with some kind of self-contained thing, like a gospel, like starting with the Gospel of John or Mark, just to get a sense. And then you sort of start asking questions about the text and that leads you to other bits of the Bible to figure it out. So, going with a reading plan can help with that. So you're not just bogged down in one particular book of the Bible, but you're sort of jumping around. And I used to use the Navigator's Discipleship Journal Bible Reading Plan.
Okay.
When I was a kid, which was really helpful.
Yeah.
But
so what are your thoughts on people who say, I'd like to read the Bible in a year?
I think that's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think there's kind of this, like, this pain barrier you need to get through. You just need to like read the thing.
Right.
Right. And then you start asking questions about what it means. But you need to sort of get it under your belt. So reading through the Bible in a year is great. In fact, oftentimes when I'm interviewing students who want to be prospective students that want to come to seminary, they'll ask, what can I read to prepare for seminary? And I said, just read the Bible.
Yeah.
Cover to cover. If you know that, you'll have the raw materials to start working through things.
That's good. That's good. So oftentimes people may say that they have a favorite scripture or they might have a favorite passage that they come to over and over again, maybe even a book of the Bible.
Yeah.
So what are some of your favorites? And I'm sure there could be some favorites for all sorts of different reasons.
Yeah.
But I'm curious to know what has resonated with you maybe in the past.
Well, in the Old Testament, and this is kind of weird.
Yeah, let's go Old Testament.
I've been obsessed with the book of Habakkuk for a long time, or Habakkuk. I don't know, depending on, how do they say it in Canada?
Habakkuk.
Habakkuk?
I honestly
don't know.
That's how I say it.
I used to teach in the UK, and my students made fun of the way I pronounced it. So
okay.
Canada is always a toss-up.
As well with oregano.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Do you say oregano?
No.
Okay, good. And you don't say aluminium either?
No, we don't.
Okay, good.
No.
Yeah, so I liked Habakkuk because it's just this kind of, this book about everything is just turned to garbage and it ends with God giving a vision of hope.
Mm-hmm.
And I really resonated with that. And the New Testament, I love, for some reason, First Peter.
Okay.
It's a book written for Christians who are sort of stuck in the world as strangers and aliens is the word that Peter uses. And so there's this kind of note of how that's relevant for how we live our lives today in our sort of post-Christian secular society that I think First Peter speaks to. It also has this kind of note of subversion, like how do you live in the world and yet kind of slowly inject Christian truth into it subtly. So I love First Peter.
Oh, I love that, which is probably really good for, like you said, where we are right now in our Western culture, in our time and place. All right. So last week you preached on the Bible and you mentioned that the Bible is really unique in the way that the youngest Christians, even children, can go to sleep at night. I remember you saying, and feel peace knowing that Jesus is with them. The Lord is my shepherd.
Yeah.
And scholars of the Bible, people who have read it and studied it, are still learning and being revealed to by the power of the Bible. So how, I guess, how are you still learning?
I mean, every time I pick up the Bible, it smashes my expectations of what I think it's going to say. I mean, there's passages as a theologian that I have lots of thoughts about, things like Philippians chapter 2 verses 5 through 11 or Ephesians chapter 1 or John chapter 3 or John chapter 1. And I'll go to someone will ask me to preach a sermon on it and I'll assume I know exactly what I'm going to say because I've thought about this. And every time it just blows up what I think it's going to say and teaches me something new. But I think, I mean, one of the reasons why little kids can read it and scholars is because Jesus says you need the faith of a child, right? To relate to me. And one of the things that, that children have is that kind of innocence and naivete of, I don't know what this is going to say to me, you know, and they always ask interesting questions. And in a way that's exactly what the best scholars should do. You should always come to the text like a child, right? Full of full of expectation that you're going to learn something new and that you don't know what's going to happen next.
Wow.
And that's what makes reading the Bible exciting.
And I don't think you could do that with any other book.
You could, but you could also become an expert in another book, which I don't think you could become an expert in the Bible. Probably the best Bible readers, what makes them good is they ask interesting questions more than they know everything about Scripture. You get better at asking questions.
Better at asking questions. Yeah. Well, we're going to leave it on that note.
Brilliant.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming.
Yay.
All right.
Church.
Yeah. So that was Justin. He is, like we said, a professor of systematic theology. I didn't have that in my notes here, so I needed him to remind me. So professor of systematic theology at Wycliffe College.
Yes, ma'am.
And he preached last week. And thank you very much for joining me.
Rock on.
All right. Take care.